It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dunk was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Are we ducks or what? I'm Mike, that's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
Kevin is not here, but welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back after a week off and some trivia matchups. We have a traditional episode for you. So Kevin is moving today. He's moving to a house, ending his tumultuous HOA run, or run as HOA president for his condo association. He has just moved out of the neighborhood. I'm sure we'll get all the details on that as we come through.
One thing to add is we think Kevin might be leasing out his condo. And so him being a landlord will probably have lots of good hijinks. So we'll have plenty of stories for the coming years for that. But we're looking forward to wrecking Kevin's new house.
Yes, that will come. But yeah, more details to that. If we can ever get Kevin back on the show, we'll have more details to that. As I mentioned, trivia has been paused here for a couple of weeks. We are done with the Quack side of the bracket. Some great contests. So I've been very impressed by the performances thus far. As I said, a lot more right answers than wrong answers here. We'll move to the attack side of the bracket probably in this next episode after this one. But stay tuned for that. If you're on that side of the bracket, you should be receiving an email from me soon. But we had some news. And we need to discuss it. So deadline.com comes out with an article. I'll link it in the show notes. And I'm going to go a little out of order here because I thought the way they presented it was odd. But they have casting for all these new characters that we talked about before. But we'll also recap them because it's been a while. But the most interesting thing for me was their little summary of what season two is. And this is from the article directly again. This is the Deadline article. It says, quote, "In season two, after winning back the Mighty Ducks team name last year, the squad with heart and their coach Alex Morrow, Lauren Graham, take to the road to attend an intense summer hockey institute in California run by charming yet hardcore former NHL player Colin Cole," which is Josh Duhamel. "It is a place for kids to get excellent at hockey without school to get in the way. As our Ducks try to survive in this super competitive environment, they're faced with the question, can you win summer?" Just your, I guess, initial thoughts here on the plot and the summary description here, Tommy.
The initial thought is seeing that, you know, we kind of knew or expected, we're able to read between the lines, what Josh Duhamel was going to be again. Hardcore like summer camp instructor, and now can you win summer? I think immediately conjures like that could be the camp's, you know, motto, and it's like, can you win summer, a sense like, oh, win their championship or whatever. But I'm sure the kids are going to learn lessons along the way where winning summer is not just about being the best in hockey, it's about growing as a person or something like that. That'll be really interesting, and I'm curious to see, you know, what what these characters are doing, you know, spread out through 10 episodes at summer camp, basically, and if there's any kind of, before time where they're going to the camp or whatever, school's out, and then at the end where they like come back for something. But it's impossible not to kind of think about like summer camp hijinks. Especially in D2, when all the Ducks are at, you know, the Goodwill games and they're living in dorms and that kind of, or not dorms, the their cabins, and of course in D3 when they're living in dorms. So I'm expecting there to be some good throwbacks, D2 and D3. Maybe you get a shaving cream prank or something like that.
Yeah, I think the hijinks are going to be high. I do like, you know, can you win summer having a separate meaning. I didn't necessarily think of that. My first impression was, okay, there's going to be some sort of tournament with the Ducks that, you know, they're going to be playing against other teams at this camp. And it kind of like it gave me a little bit of Junior Goodwill Games vibes without the, you know, patriotism and the Team USA versus. It's just going to be Ducks versus all these other teams in a tournament. The interesting thing, so we talked before about how is Alex going to fit into this, and is she going to come along? It seems pretty clear that Alex is going to be at the camp with these kids and I guess taking on the role of their, you know, head coach and having no assistance. So we'll see what happens there. So they mentioned they cast 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people into these character descriptions. We talked about the character descriptions before, but I'm going to go through them and we'll see how much we have to discuss. But the main one, Naveen Paddock, will play Jace. And again, I've not heard of any of these actors, but I think Tommy has heard of one. But Naveen Paddock will play Jace, disaffected, rebellious, acute stud with a bad boy attitude, despite a surprising connection to the Hardcore Hockey Institute run by Coach Cole. Jace has no interest in being there or spending his summer on the ice, but some of our team have other plans for him. So a couple things here. I think in the character descriptions, it was revealed that this is Coach Cole's son. So I'm interested to see how that relationship plays out because they're being a little coy about it. And also, you know, some of our team have other plans for him. Seems like they're going to try to, you know, pull a Sophie and recruit him to the Ducks. But initial impressions on Jace here, if there are any for you, Tommy.
So yeah, my initial thought on Jace is, you know, this is going to be Dumel's son. And do we know Dumel's first name, or do we just know Coach Cole?
The article says Colin Cole.
Colin Cole. Okay. Love that alliteration. and so, yeah, it seems like, you know, he is the, you know, disaffected, doesn't want to play hockey. You know, he's just there because he's supposed to spend the summer with his dad or whatever. So, yeah, I think he's definitely getting recruited by the Ducks. So, yeah. So you're seeing this as like a giant like hockey camp where there's 10 teams or whatever, all competing to win summer.
Yeah, I'm assuming, yeah, they form some sort of, you know, team versus team move. And yeah, I don't know how Jace is just going to be off by himself, but it certainly seems maybe he's on a different team and they pull him over or something like that. But
I think maybe he's pulled in into their team. I also think there is going to be at least one other person pulled into the team. We'll talk about them in probably just a second. Because obviously you got to add new players to the Ducks. You can't just, that's like a staple of some of these sports movies that have sequels. You know, you got to have new players to keep things interesting.
Yeah, I think in the original character descriptions, he was described as being a recurring character too. So I think he's going beyond this season. So he is the main guy. There's three other sort of main kid characters. There's Margot Anderson Song will recur as Gertie, who's from Alaska, sort of a homeschool oddball. There's Connor DeWolf, who plays AJ Lawrence, who's like the godlike teen is what they call him, very self-centered. And then there's Noah Baird, who's his brother. Noah Baird will play Fries, the little brother of AJ Lawrence, because he's the side dish, so they call him Fries apparently. But there's descriptions there. You can read them. Anything stick out to you among those three characters there?
Yeah. So Anderson Song, I guess, is being characterized as, you know, basically not having a team. She was homeschooled back in Alaska. So I think she's definitely going to be put on the Ducks. It's like she came to this hockey camp because she wanted to like the world to see her play a la Julie Gaffney, whatever. She will be in the Ducks. So that's my prediction there. AJ is an interesting name. I wonder if his first name is Adonis because he's being described as godlike. the whole fries thing, there's gonna be plenty of jokes about that. It'll be interesting though. I don't know if Fries is gonna be on his little brother's or on his big brother's team, and then he also joins the Ducks to get out of his brother's shadow. You know, I don't know. It would be cool if they had some kind of like, you know, drafts or whatever. They're doing like skills competitions or like some 3-on-3 stuff where you intermingle the teams, and maybe that's how we meet some of these characters. But I'm expecting that at least Anderson Song is going to be on the Ducks team.
Yes, so she'll play, I guess, Gertie. It's the character's name, but that would be interesting if they mixed it up. It would be a nice little dynamic to see, you know, Evan and go against like Coop or Sam or whatever. I do like that a lot. So part of the description of AJ is he intimidates the heck out of his socially awkward goalie roommate. That seems to be Coop. So
yeah, and so actually that's interesting there. If they are like, hey, you're rooming with players from other teams to help like build camaraderie or whatever, and maybe there's going to be some kind of like Evan and totally spacing Jace? Names. Yeah, no. Basically, splitting up Maxwell Simpkins and Brady Noon, and yeah, like having further kind of like, oh, I thought we were best friends kind of stuff, and like maybe this like superstar AJ guy like trying to get Brady Noon to only hang out with him because like they're two of the best players or something. Evan, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I am interested to see how Fries and Nick, the two sort of sidekicks, are they going to be together, and are they going to bond over their sidekickery? Yeah, I'm interested. It certainly seems like Fries and AJ will start on the same team and maybe split off as Fries, you know, comes out of his shell a little bit there. Yeah, interesting. So I think this kind of plays part of it, so I'm going to skip around. So part of the article says, you know, in addition to Graham and Dumel, the series also stars Brady Newton, Maxwell Swimkins, Sway Batia, Luke Islam, Tegan Burns, and Dejan Watts. They do not mention Kiefer O'Reilly, who played Logan, and they do not mention Bella Higginbotham, who played Lauren. So I'm very curious if they are going to be recurring characters. So I've been checking the social medias. It doesn't seem like any indication one way or another. There was a video that Maxwell Simpkins posted of him sort of, well, it's actually Josh Dumel who posted it, of Maxwell Simpkins freestyling. And it certainly looked like it was Kiefer O'Reilly in the room with everybody, but I can't be sure that it was him because he was sort of off to the side. Kiefer is from Vancouver, so I don't know if that complicates things. Bella Higginbotham from Nashville. I don't think that would be an issue to get to Los Angeles where they are filming. But it certainly seems like Gertie is kind of a replacement or could be a replacement for Lauren. So interested to see how that plays out. But if we were to lose those two, does that affect your excitement at all of the second season?
Yes and no. Like, yes, in the way it's like, oh, these were characters introduced in season one. You want to kind of follow them throughout the series of the show. But at the same time, you could also be like, well, maybe not all these characters are going to camp. And maybe you have some scenes like back in Minnesota, some scenes back in California. And then maybe the kids make it to camp at the end, a la Dean Portman, D3. But also, you know, we kind of talked about in season one where, you know, sometimes it feels like some of the kids, like they had a storyline just kind of rushed in there. You know, Dejan Watts' character was just like, he had a couple of parts where it's like he's just kind of there. And then he had like a 10-minute arc in one episode where he was pissed and then he was happy. And so when you have two, like an ensemble cast like that, not everyone's going to have like spotlight. And so by adding more characters, it can be difficult and you got to distribute like the snappy one-liners and things like that. So, you know, I trust the showrunners. I trust Brill, we'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. They could have smaller appearances and still be, you know, in the season without being the quote stars of the ensemble cast there. So I'm hopeful we at least see them for a little bit before we move on. But it is a strange omission to only leave those two names out when you listed off all the other kids. So we'll see how that plays out. But let's move on to the adults here. So there's three adults that Deadline has said been cast. Stephanie Weir plays Marnie, who's Coach Cole, Josh Duhamel's administrative assistant. She's kind of scared. She used to run the Nature Center. And then there's Tim Sharp, who is the coach of quote-unquote Headspace, which is like the mental aspect of the sport. And he's sort of like a life coach, mind coach, whatever you want to call it. And then Tiffany Denise Hobbs is the incredibly jacked strength and conditioning coach, Jackie. So out of those three, anybody stick out to you there?
Yeah, and so like Mike alluded to earlier, Stephanie Weir is someone who I recognized. And I was like, where do I know this person? And so she was on Mad TV. And what I remember from her is she did like a very good like Sharon Osbourne impression, I think is what it was. If I'm remembering correctly, it's been like 20 years. looking at her IMDb, you know, she's done a lot of like improv, that kind of thing. And so you think she's going to be a good comedic actor in this series. And she has, I remember, and maybe it's just thinking about her Sharon Osbourne impression, like good range of voices. And so like she could maybe play that like meek assistant pretty well, or maybe have a couple of moments where she just like gets, she like rises to the occasion, like yells at someone or something like that. So she's who I recognize. And again, I think is a strong comedic, you know, actor. So that should be good. The other two I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any of them, but I do like the setups here. I think, you know, the mental coach obviously is some weird ball comedy. I don't know if that's a term, but I just made it up.
Screwball, potentially.
Screwball, yeah, there you go. I was trying to think of what it was. And then, yeah, the strength and conditioning coach, just sort of like the intense and then, you know, the sensitive side. I think there could be some comedy with some, you know, heart there, a la there. But, yeah, after knowing this, anything else stick out to you or any further thoughts on the news here that happened like a week ago, but I was out of town, so we didn't discuss it until now.
Very good, Mike. It's interesting, some of these like asides where they're described, it's, you know, like the Headspace is like sharp-eyed intensity, and Jackie, the strength and conditioning coach, is saying like a surprisingly sensitive side. And so it's almost like they're alluding to like certain scenes that you can expect where, you know, where Jackie's got to like take aside one of the kids and it's just like, hey, you know, you can do it. You know, it's not all about, you know, like how many jumping jacks you can do. It's doing it at the right time or something like that. So you can kind of see like how it's all going to be coming together. And so it seems like they've got a well-rounded cast. Obviously, this isn't fully fully fleshed out, but kind of circling back, I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but like, yeah, Lauren Graham, is she she's the head coach, I guess, now? And I guess we can kind of assume that there's 10 teams or something at this camp and they each have a coach or something, or maybe it's like, and then each team gets like 3-hour-long sessions a week with like Coach Cole, and they get like hour-long sessions each week with, you know, these assistants or something like that, or these the personnel at the camp. So I mean, it seems like an interesting camp model. I'm trying to think back to like I never went to any kind of like high-level sports camp. The camps that I went to in the summer were just like dropping me off so I didn't bother my parents or because I had to work or whatever. It was just like one person trying to wrangle a bunch of kids. So I think they've got a good number of adults in this. But I think unfortunately this also looks like maybe some of our favorite adults from season one, like Coach T and Stephanie, might not be part of this, but who knows, we can be pleasantly surprised. I'd love to see Coach T as like all having like a cameo where he's coaching another team, or he like tried to sneak in or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because it certainly seems like the adults are out. I'm very I don't know if worried's the right word or concerned, but I don't think the checkmates are making it to this season. I think the checkmates are out. So
They went back to their homeland or something like that. But who knows, maybe them, Logan and Laura, they couldn't go to camp or something like that. And so they're doing their own thing back in Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, that's an easy explanation away. Oh, the checkmates, you know, they were done. They went home.
They went home to, you know, Czechoslovakia for the summer.
Right.
I do think they need to do something where it's like, you know, Logan was accidentally sent to like tap dancing camp or something like that. And you have scenes of him tap dancing. And then at the end, he uses his newfound tap dancing to help them win the championship.
Yeah, that would be very, I would like that. I would like, that would be like to be sort of disappointed that he's not in it. And then he comes back at the end would be nice. But yeah, it certainly seems like Alex is going to be there. And yeah, I don't know the model. I don't know how this is all going to work. I'm very interested. It certainly seems they're like they're going to be living there. So it looks like, from what I would guess, we talked about AJ and Coop staying together. Gertie, if Lauren is indeed gone, Gertie and then Tegan matching up to sort of replace that friendship makes sense. Jason, Evan, and then Fries and Nick, the two like main guys, and then the two sidekicks, all make sense and could have some, you know, bonding moments there. But it would be interesting to sort of switch it up here. But that leaves, you know, Sophie and Sam, couldn't think of the actual character name, sort of maybe by themselves, or maybe there's other kids that aren't.
You could have like three people sharing a bunk or four or something like that. And also, you know, I think it would make actually the most sense if like Sophie did not go to the camp and she's the side story of her parents sending her to a different camp to be more well-rounded. And like, again, different ways to win the summer. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of possibilities, and I think like that summer camp setting is really strong. It's funny though that we are talking about like the format, and obviously for the longtime listeners, go back to our early episodes of this podcast, we talk a lot about like the format of things and like what was the actual format of Goodwill Games and what was the qualifying process. And so I think unless there's some lines kind of giving that to us, we're going to be all over the showrunners and Brill. And so I hope they're listening and they're covering their asses with good backstory on how this camp is run and how they're paying everyone. So I mentioned some lines in there about getting some grants and some applicable dates for when this camp is running.
Yeah, they did a good job in season one where Stephanie explained the leagues, and then, you know, the playoffs were not just that league. They were other teams from around the state. I appreciated that. But to that point, I am interested to see, A, this format, and B, how they get there. Because it is kind of a departure. And it's like, okay, these kids were, you know, supposed to have fun. They came together. They won the league. And now they're going to this, like, super intense hockey camp. Like, is it still supposed to be fun? And, like, how do they transition from, you know, league champions to we're going across the country to play in this elite level camp? So, I mean, obviously it's been done D1 to D2. They just became basically Team USA. So are they going to do it a little bit smoother this time around? Very interested to see how it all plays out. We obviously have a few months here. I don't know exactly when it's supposed to end, but probably sometimes around the summer is the end of filming, and then showtime for probably a couple months after that. So I would be guessing August, September sometime. I've tried to, you know, work my connections to get on set there. COVID apparently is still a problem, but that was maybe a month or two ago. So I might try again and see what happens as we go through here. But let's move on. We haven't done a quiet question in a while. Let's move on to a quiet question. We got a lot of good ones in the Discord, but I like this one that came in recently from Bberg19, who had a devastating loss in the Trivia Challenge. But Bberg19, he says, in D3, they refer to Eden Hall bringing in the Ducks as a publicity stunt. Why would Eden Hall, a highly regarded school with 10 straight state championships, be in need of a publicity stunt? And then Air Lemaire did respond and say, well, have you heard of the Eden Hall Ducks before? Or had you heard of Eden Hall before the Ducks went there? Which I thought was a great point. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this was a way to get on, you know, the national stage. You know, it's why these high school teams are playing on ESPN so they can recruit nationally. You know, it's you know, modern day is now household name among high school football, you know, camps, you know, not just, you know, California or whatever, same thing, you know, some of these Texas high schools like Duncanville or whatever. But that is a great point. Like, we had never heard of Eden Hall before the Ducks went there. You'd also argue it's like, this is the best team, like the best junior or preps team, you know, or you know, class of freshmen you could possibly get. And they're in your, you know, backyard. It's also great PR, I think. Mm-hmm. And Eden Hall maybe also wants to recruit a little bit more into, like, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, like maybe into like the more like inner city environment, and, you know, offering scholarships. And I think this does nothing but like improve their endowment. So I think there's a lot of different reasons why you would do this, not just because of we want to win.
Yeah.
And it's not about just winning games. It's about winning the school year and winning your all the donations.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think you touched on everything there. They had won 9 straight championships or 10 straight state championships. I don't remember at this point. It's so many numbers going through my head. But I felt like they could take a little bit of a chance here with all that reputation, bring in these kids, get, you know, the press headlines. And, you know, if it works out, like you mentioned, they could be the prep school. So like Shattuck St. Mary's in Minnesota is like a very famous school. A lot of NHLers went there. I think that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to get that national profile to where kids who said, oh, I'm on the path to the NHL, wanted to go there and flock there instead of just being sort of a local power. They were trying to be a national power and get the kids from the different states as hockey was expanding at that time to, you know, Arizona and the Sun Belt and all those places, Dallas and Florida. That's right around when the expansion happened. So trying to get those kids up to Minnesota, get that money, makes a lot of sense.
It's also somewhat low risk in the sense you're just spending money on, what, 9 scholarships? And you got to figure, like, are there 9 other kids who didn't get to go to the school because of it? Maybe we know that there's kids who didn't make the team because of it, which is a little bit weird. But this was not the varsity team. You weren't throwing them right into the fire of winning a state title. You know, the only kid on varsity was Banks. And so if it didn't really work out, then you just replenish each year, essentially. And remember, since you got to think that there's like sophomores and juniors in the varsity team as well. It's not just seniors, even though they all look like in their mid-20s, at least. So I think it's just a savvy play. Obviously, could have been handled a lot better by some of those folks thinking just about wins on the ice. So, you know, we could talk a lot more about this. And I guess who was the it wasn't the dean, I don't think. Basically, the guy, like Riley's dad, he was one who was like the big naysayer. Clearly, he was only in it for nepotism. He was not thinking about big picture about Eden Hall. So I think he should have lost his seat on the board or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering what the vote was initially to like bring these kids in. I guess they're fresh off a Junior Goodwill Games championship. They think, oh, they're going to dominate. But it didn't seem like they were ready to dump them, you know, if things went poorly. So as you mentioned, sort of a low risk because the dean said, oh, Ted O'Ryan, you can just pick your own team next year. We'll get rid of all these kids. So
yeah, definitely. It's like, you know, these 14-year-olds aren't doing well. We'll just send them back to public school, send them back to the streets. You know, like who, like we don't fucking care.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. So I guess in the long run, it worked out. They got the national profile. They got a whole documentary made about them. Obviously, some stuff you may not want to see there. It probably hurt some of the Eden Hall's reputation in that documentary. But overall, comes out in the end, they actually beat the varsity team. And, you know, you get these kids for 3 more years as, you know, this national power. So,
and you're a bit ahead of your time changing that, you know, offensive name of Warriors to Ducks.
Right, right. Yeah. So it all worked out in the end for Eden Hall. A lot of publicity. We're assuming they kept the championship streak going. But
I would love to get an Eden Hall reference in this next season of Game Changers. Maybe Coach Cole went there. And it's interesting with the Eden Hall Ducks and the, you know, the Ducks Pee Wee team or whatever, you know, who's seen as the real Ducks there. There's going to be a good like Ringer article about that in the Ducks universe about, you know, who's the real Duck or something like that. You know, if you talk about like, if you say go Wildcats, who are you talking about? You're talking about Arizona, you're talking about Kentucky, you know, that kind of thing. You say go Ducks, who are you talking about? So,
yeah, I like it a lot. They definitely need some sort of Eden Hall thing. I think we asked Brell the first time. He said there's nothing in season one, but it could happen in later seasons. So there you go. For us, thequarkdeck.com, at quarkdeckpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quarkdeckpod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell us, you know, what you think about this news and the plot summary and all these characters, and if you recognize any of them. Thanks to our producers. We love you guys. We appreciate it. You keep the lights on for us. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Ain't no turning back. Start to be-